Good evening, Bill.
Good evening, Stanley. Hello, listeners. Welcome back. We hope that you're with us for this season finale of the BS Car Guys podcast, wrapping up season four.
Yep, number four, 2023. Why? It would have been more poetic if season four would have happened in 2024. But it didn't. So anyway, this is where we are. Season four. We're itching close to 100 episodes, which is cool. That's
crazy. 100 episodes.
Yeah. I know there are other podcasts out there that hit 100 episodes in a year. We have jobs and families and life things to do. So that ain't us.
All of those things.
Yep. Like, so if you're a listener, you probably noticed that we haven't posted a podcast in a minute. It's because of some technical difficulties that we are working through, but
we are still trying to work through. But hey, guess what? If you're listening to this podcast, Stanley figured them out.
Yep, I figured it out. And if you are seeing this podcast, we didn't figure it out, and we had to go do something else.
That's right. Maybe I just better hedge my bets here and keep my facial expressions together for the whole episode.
I even wore
a nice sweater hoodie. I got my old bicycle behind me because I've been working on my old road bike, so I can sell it because I ain't trying to keep it. So look, I'm all set up for professional podcasting.
Have you been hanging out with a Neil Hoover and just selling and buying and selling everything?
No, but here's the deal, man. My wife has drawn this hard line in the sand that I got to get rid of this Land Cruiser before I can buy another car. And I'm trying to drum up some funds in other ways. You know, I got a bit of a shoe collection and some jackets. Thinking about start selling some jackets on the Facebook Marketplace and unload some inventory of things. I've even contemplated selling some camera gear. I'm not using that often anymore, but that's a tough one.
Oh, okay. All right. So everybody be on the lookout for Bill's Facebook market page. Stuff is, might be on it.
I know, right?
So what do
you want to do? You want to do this thing in the forward order or the reverse order? What do you want to do here? You want to talk about 24 or 23, or you want to do news first, or what do you want to do?
I figured we should catch up a little bit, seeing how we haven't talked in a bit because life. So the first and biggest thing that happens while we were kind of dealing with the holiday season is the Cybertruck.
Yeah, let me just say a couple things. One, let me get this out the way. Two major thoughts about the Cybertruck. All right, number one, I watched some videos of it being driven and reviewed and like seeing the things about it, and for all of its weirdness and stupidity as a thing that exists, I don't hate it as much as I want to hate it. Okay. And then number two, and then this is probably the bigger thing. I think they recorded like at Halloween or something, but Elon was on the Joe Rogan podcast, because I listen to a lot of podcasts, and if it's one that is car related or interests me, I'll listen to it. And so I listened to him on Rogan, and you know, there's a lot of language. So if you're listening to this and you're a youth or a parent of a youth, maybe don't listen to them, but here's the thing that really impressed me. Elon, for all of the things that I dislike about Elon, he made it a point multiple times during the course of the podcast to reiterate to Joe Rogan and his listeners that the idea of a car is not the hard part of a car, and that most movies about cars being invented or created and most stories that are told about the creation of a car focus a lot on the design, the development, the invention, the idea of that thing being the major breakthrough that needs to be highlighted. And so he went out of his way multiple times to highlight the fact that that's not the hard part. The hard part is the repetitive manufacture of that thing. that manufacturing is far more difficult than people give it credit for. And being as a person who lives in the world of manufacturing, I know that very well. And so it was actually nice to hear somebody who, for all of his other faults, is regarded as a very intelligent man, possibly one of the most intelligent people in business today, constantly try to reiterate to make sure people got a grasp on the fact that inventing a Cybertruck's cool and the Cybertruck's what it is, but the hard part ain't making the Cybertruck. It's manufacturing in mass the Cybertruck, which is probably why it's 2 years later than everybody thought it was going to be.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, that's my thoughts on the Cybertruck. What do you think?
You are way more positive than me. I don't like it. I don't like it. It further made me not like it when I saw it. I don't like it.
Look at us. We're going to other directions tonight.
This is my positive about it. I'm going to kind of start it the same way you said it. For all the things that I don't like about it, underneath all of that weirdness, it's potentially today the best EV truck. Because,
wow.
Right? And then you cover it with all of that mess, which makes it horrible.
Yeah. No. I agree completely. And that's like, I kept looking at features and options and things about it and was like, well, that's smart. Well, that's handy. Well, yeah, that's good thinking. Oh, yeah. That makes sense. Do that. Like, and then you go, oh, but it looks so stupid.
It looks so stupid. So one of the guys at work, he's not really that big of a car guy, but he likes to poke at me. And then every now and then he asked me a legit car question. I asked my opinion about one. And he's much younger than me. So he's on all the social medias and everything. So when it came out, you know, it made this big splash. Everybody was talking about it. And he's like, so what do you think about it? And I was like, if you put an F-150 GMC Sierra, Chevy Silverado, Ram 1500, Nissan Titan. Is that all the big trucks? Yeah, that's not a big truck. The Toyota Tundra body on top of that thing, it will sell every bit of the number that they want it to sell.
Yep.
And it's like, but it looks so cool. I was like, the thing about, because they were talking about, well, his son is like, why don't all these cars that I see in these futuristic movies, why they don't look like that? And that was one of the inspirations for why the car looks that way. And I was like, and that's cool. I was like, that's great. It's like, you know who don't have great ideas about manufacturing vehicles? 7-year-olds.
Yes. You know who else doesn't have great ideas about manufacturing vehicles? The guys who write movies for a living.
Exactly. They have no idea how cars work. They're like, hey, what if we made it triangle?
It makes me think about being like a really poor kid in the South, because I know good and well you did it too, being at a church or at a house or something where they had a wood doorstop.
Yeah.
And you pretended it was a race car.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
That's the truck. 100. It's just going the other way.
It is that. One of the most ridiculous things about this truck. All right.
It's a soapbox derby car going backwards.
It is that. It is that. The windshield wiper.
Dude. Who doesn't need a 473-foot long windshield wiper blade?
Exactly. The crazy thing is, it was like, man, this is going to cost a lot to repair the parts. And they start looking at the parts, and the parts really weren't that different. I was like, I don't know how they are not that different in price when that is the only vehicle on the planet that uses that size windshield wiper. And then one of the people who drove it prior to its launch, or its whatever you call it, when they start giving them giving it to people, was my guy MKBHD, who is not a car YouTuber by trade, but he likes cars, and I've seen his love of cars grow, and is a Tesla fan.
He's more of a technology guy, right?
Yeah, he's a tech guy. So he was driving this thing around before they did all the stuff, all the big press conference and everything. And he's like, and it's on his podcast. So if you are just want to listen to another podcast, listen to his podcast too. And listen to, if you are of age, listen to Joe Rogan. If you are not of age, just don't do that. You will get in trouble with your parents.
Right, right. You will wind up repeating some stuff you should not.
Yeah, absolutely. But he was like, and I'm asking, how strong does that electric motor got to be to move that gigantic windshield wiper across that windshield at the rate of speed that it needs to daggone move water off it?
Well, I mean, that's the thing about an electric motor. It's all the torque your motor can produce at exactly zero RPM. So it doesn't take that much bigger of a motor to move it. Now, what will be interesting is, because I mean, the surface tension of water on a windshield can't be that heavy anyway. So you don't have any problems with that wiper blade being that big until you come across ice or snow. That's exactly where you're going to run into problems. Yeah, or mud. Presuming somebody in that Tesla Cybertruck actually goes in the mud. Now, I would be interested to see, first of all, I think we're one big, like, countrywide horrible freeze winter storm El Nino monster monsoon thing that freezes out the whole country away from everybody realizing just how stupid EVs are. Because the first time it gets down to like single digits for 2 weeks straight, that's it. You can't own an EV. You ain't getting nowhere because your range is going to go to nothing. The batteries aren't going to function correctly. Forget it. So I'm curious to see what's going to happen there. But yeah, I mean, if that windshield freezes over, if it's freezing rain and you park it and then you go out and you get back in it, that thing you better have the world's best hair dryer for a windshield defroster, because that windshield wiper blade ain't going nowhere.
It is not. And it doesn't have door handles and it has a popper. And they claim that, oh yeah, we took it to Alaska and it had an inch worth of ice on it and it was able to pop out the door. I was like, okay, so what you just said is you're about to hurt somebody with this door when it pops out.
Maybe so.
Yeah, right. But anyway, I guess underneath it all, it's a Tesla. Yep. It is capable of some things. It is one of those, what was the car that I'm trying to think of a pretty good comp? It looks cool on pitch. The Countach, Lamborghini Countach. This is a good example.
Okay.
Looks amazing in pictures.
Ooh.
Looks amazing on a wall of anybody, however old you are.
Oh yes.
In posters, right?
Oh yes.
Practically, if you drove that car, you would. If you owned that car, you would never drive it because it just don't work good. Not that it don't work. But it don't work good.
He's not wrong, folks. It don't work good. That should have been the tagline underneath the Countach posters that people were sucking up from Walmart in the 1980s. Like, Countach, it don't work good.
Absolutely. We have come to the conclusion over the years that the Porsche 911 is the greatest car ever made.
The
right.
Greatest car ever made.
Right. It's simple looking. Its form has function. It looks the way it looks, and it has looked the way it has looked for 50 years and evolving, because it didn't look like a spaceship ever.
Ever. Not ever. Not ever, ever.
As much as I love Corvettes, they completely changed the way it looked every other generation. Just make the car simple. and make it do what it's supposed to do.
Well, that's put, it. Make it simple, but make it work.
Yeah. Put. Think about function when you're trying to come up with this form. You know, it is the reason why we and car guys and car reviewers, well, I don't know about these new kids, people, why we like station wagons.
I do love a station wagon.
Is kind of timeless. Even if you jack one of them up 3 feet in the air and call it an SUV, all I got to do in my mind that still can I can still harping back to when I was a teenager is just lower it in my head that I go 5 inches and then it's a station wagon. That's how I've accepted this. I just take out 5 inches of height in my head and it's a station wagon and I'm okay with it now. I have to come up reasons with which why. Anyway, anywho, all right. I guess my last thing on the Cybertruck is, did you see the crash, the crash report, the report about it in crashes?
No.
All right, so that's just a report, and I can't tell you exactly where to look, but just go on Auto Week Network, and they'll kind of you'll see it. Matter of fact, I think tonight they're having this big discussion with one guy who is in love with the Cybertruck and Sandy Miro, which I was kind of surprised that Sandy Miro was so like into it. Talking to two other people was like, this ain't gonna work. And and these are all respected automotive industry veterans talking about this truck instead of, you know, just, you know, me and you just two fans of cars talking. These dudes got courage. Like Sandy Moreau is the dude that who
I mean, I don't know the names, but I believe you.
Sandy Moreau is the dude that buys a car and takes it and dissects it and then sells the schematics of things and stuff instead of like Hyundai going to buy a G35 and pulling it apart to make a Genesis Coupe. Sandy Moreau does it and they just get all the stuff from him.
Oh, okay. Got it.
One of his biggest things about Tesla was when a couple years ago when I first became aware of him was everything works. Their problem isn't coming up with a good car and a good design and things. They suck at building cars. Ooh. They don't know how to build cars, and it's obvious. There are mistakes that you make when you pull all the panels off this thing that a veteran manufacturer would never make. Well, and if they don't fix that, yeah. And if they don't fix that, then that's going to be the downfall of the company. But he legitimately said, like, I don't know what engineer came up with that motor. The special part of the car isn't the battery or the way it looked. There is magic inside that motor. There is witchcraft.
To move that much truck.
yeah. But anyway, Cybertruck. We hate the way it looks. We kind of think it the underneath could work. Don't let 7-year-olds design cars.
There you go. All right, moving on to the next thing before we get into cars of the year and all that stuff. One more piece of automotive media that I think is important to keep to talk about before the end of the year or at the end of the year here. I don't know if you saw it or not, but recently, a couple weeks ago, they released the newest Gymkhana video featuring Ken Block in the Audi, what do they call it, Hoonatron. That they filmed in Mexico City last November. So it was pretty good. Wasn't the best. And I'm going to go ahead and just say that, even though it's going to live on because it was his last and I get all that, but it definitely wasn't the best one. And I think they even feel that way. So that being said, let's talk about Hoonigan at large. As most people know, Hoonigan's never been owned solely by Ken Block or Brian Scotto. So Hoonigan has always had ownership, right? Well, one their most recent, and I don't know how long they've been partial owners or whatever, but Wheel Pros has finally completely bought out Hoonigan. Now, I don't know if it's contractual or what, but for the time being, Brian Scotto's still there. But just about everybody else who really made a name for themselves and grew that company and popularity on the internet has now left to do their own things, to work for other people. Very few people outside of the real OGs, which are really Brian and Ron, have been there since they were, I think they worked at like, I don't think it was Sport Compact Car, whatever magazine, 0 to 60 that they worked at together, you know, years and years ago. I think they're really two of the last remaining people that are kind of a face of the company and are seen regularly. But pretty much everybody else is jumping ship. So there's a lot of talk about it being the quote unquote death of Hoonigan, because a lot of their decisions are kind of corporate based now. So it'll be interesting to see where that lands. Might be changing the YouTube landscape of car culture pretty significantly, really. So, because now all these guys are going out and starting their own brands and doing their own thing. So,
so you are a bigger fan. I'm aware, but you're a way bigger fan of that kind of content than I am. And kind of made an interesting statement. It's like it may change the way car culture online looks. How do you think it's going to change it?
Well, I think it's through revolution like this where growth occurs. So when Ken Block when they made the first Gymkhana practice video, whatever year that was, 08 09, something like that, it was a long time ago, right? Whenever that video came out, I guess it was probably before that, it's probably like 05 or 06. It was like the early days of YouTube, I feel like. So when that video first came out, it was revolutionary because people weren't recording stuff like that in cars, right? So it got people excited and looking for content of cars doing cool stuff. That video also sparked people like Daily Driven Exotics, right? He talked about it all the time, that he saw that Gymkhana video and wanted to film something similar in a supercar. So he when did it in a Lamborghini, and that was his first video that kind of blew up, right? So, and then you've got BJ Baldwin, who did like an off-road video doing that same kind of stuff with the Recoil series. And you got Blake Wilkie that does, you know, his Baja Bug stuff and has done videos. And so that all of that car content started making people crave more car content. So then people started saying, well, look, why don't we film everything leading up to that big video? So we'll show you how we build the car for that big video. And that turned into all these build channels. So now we got all these build channels. Well, these guys that have been there and been a part of seeing how the marketing engine that Hoonigan really was, because that's honestly that's what they did best. They marketed their brand and the video, the like end result videos they produced. Right. You know, we grew up in an era where kind of before internet car culture, we had magazine car culture. And the only real video culture that existed was like surf and skate videos. Right. And Ken Block came from the shoe world, which was heavily connected to skating. And that's really what gave him the idea to do car content videos, because they were doing skate content videos. And those, you know, the craving for people to see that content is still huge. So marketing the lead up to the big final trick and all the practices and skating is similar to the marketing of all of the lead up of putting together the car and testing the car to the big race or the big event or the big video shoot, right? So these guys have all been there and seen that marketing effort and seen how to grow that. And now they know that they have built an online reputation or presence or whatever you want to call it for their quality of work. So now people are just naturally going to follow them to wherever they go, or if they go on their own, to watch them struggle through that process on their own to build cool car stuff. And then do stuff with the cars they build. You know what I mean? And so it's built this demand for this kind of content. And now all it's going to do is just give people more content to watch. It, you know, it's like somebody stomped on a spider's egg and a bunch of little baby spiders all ran out. You know what I mean? I mean, that's what it looks like to me. So
you just use my wife's worst fear as an analogy. And my son. All right, so real quick. I have a son that's like 6'3", like 260 pounds. The number one thing on the planet that is the number one thing on the planet he is afraid of and has always been afraid of is spiders.
That's funny. I'm not big on them myself, to be honest with you.
I'm not big on them, but I have never run from a spider, and he has.
Yeah, I haven't ran. I don't see myself running from any spiders anytime soon.
Yeah. It's going to take a little bit more than spiders to get me running right now.
All right. So we have done 30 minutes on everything but what we were going to talk about. Are we ready to get into this?
I guess we can get into it a little bit.
Do you want to? I didn't think about this till like right when we were about to start. Do you want to talk about cars that died this year? We're going to do an in memorial.
Do you have a list of all of them?
I can go through them.
Let's go through them. We can have an in memoriam.
I'm only going to talk about the ones that matter. Audi R8.
Mm-hmm.
Audi TT.
We have to say a word. We got to kind of say a word for the special ones.
Okay.
Audi R8. Audi proves that a supercar, again, can be an everyday car. It's still a supercar.
Yeah, the Audi R8 is the German version of an Acura NSX.
Yeah. Or the German version of a Lamborghini.
No, because it ain't. No, very little about that car outside the engine really is Lamborghini. I would say about Audi R8, I would say used to be great, still really good.
Yeah.
Used to be great because you could actually buy with a gated manual gearbox. Okay, Audi TT. Underappreciated for what it is. I would say like pint-sized powerhouse. That's my thought always on the TT.
TTRS is probably one of the most underestimated cars on the planet. Because if you think you're faster than that car, odds are you are not.
That's right. The Bolt and the Bolt EUV both did.
They're coming back. I don't want to talk about it.
Chevy Camaro.
That's all I got. All I got is a tip.
I mean, the Camaro's not completely gone till the end of 24, but it's on its way out. Chrysler 300 and Challenger and Charger and Hellcats and all those things. I mean, I feel like we have to say a word because the Mercedes platform it's built on is finally being laid to rest after 52 years in service.
It was modified over the years, but yeah, it's still there. gone too soon, actually. Sometimes, you know, if you got a good thing, you know, there are whole restaurants.
When you say if you got a good thing, you meant it. If you temporarily bought ownership in a company to steal all their good ideas to save your fledgling car company and then sold it off as soon as you had all the information you needed, then yes. If you've got a good all of that, then take advantage of it.
First of all, sir, I believe though that the marketing campaign at the time was the merger of equals.
Yeah. Okay. Let's talk about all the stuff we believe in marketing.
Ferrari's
got a couple cars going away. They're losing the F8 Tributo, the Portofino M,
mm-hmm.
the Ford Edge. Turns out it wasn't that sharp.
The Ferraris. One of the reasons those Ferraris are going away is because nobody knew.
Nobody knew. Explorer Hybrid going away. Fiesta finally done.
Did you hear why the hybrid is going away?
No.
Police forces, they're gonna stop selling them to customers, regular people, and focus on selling them strictly to police departments.
Yeah, that's a mistake. Okay, Ford Transit Connect, she gone. Now we're going to hurt your feelings. Kia Stinger.
Underrated. Rio. Hey, you know what? That is a real loss. That was like that was probably the best under $20,000 car left on the market. And
well, there was only two, yeah. So yeah.
Yeah.
Lincoln Aviator Grand Touring. Mazda CX-9.
That car should be a go. As much as it should be a go.
Yeah. McLaren 720S.
One of the best looking cars that was still on sale.
Gone. A bunch of Mercedes things. Nissan Maxima. But it'll come back.
Four-door sports car.
As an electric. It's the end of four-door the four-door sports car. Okay. The Ford DSC. The Porsche Panamera.
I would buy a Maxima right now.
The Porsche Panamera. You get a good deal on Panamera Sport Turismo. And I think that ends the list of cars that are dying this year. And I'm pretty sad about that one, actually, because I like it. It's a cool... I mean, as wagons go, it's one of the coolest.
And so did you... So the press release... the release on that was... the excuse that's killing... by the way, is... Well, we just didn't sell enough of them. You don't sell enough of every other Porsche.
Actually, I think the real reason is because they got the new Panamera coming out, and they're not going to do the wagon right out the gate. That's what I think.
Yeah, that might work too. Yeah. But that was a beautiful wagon.
Agreed. All right, let's talk about our list. Let's talk about cars best of for 2023. Let's do that before we get to 24.
All right. So
do you have a list? I have a top five in order.
You got a top five? Well, I got some honorable mentions, but it really all comes down to one car for me.
All right. Do you want to do your one car?
One car and one car A. All
right. Do you want me to do my top five and we'll see if our one car is the same?
Yeah, you know what? That's a better idea. Let's do that.
Okay. I got my paper notepad in front of me. Stanley loves that I don't have a spreadsheet on my computer.
Was that algebra on the back of that?
No, just some math. It was just some math. I do math. All right.
So here's my car. I got Excel for that.
I get it, but sometimes I like to do things on paper. Okay.
Because you're old.
This is cars of 2023 that were new or extremely significant because they were basically new for 2023 model year.
Okay.
But number five.
All right.
These are in descending order. My number five. And I really listed these based on how they spoke to me. Okay. So this is a very biased list. Just so I'm saying.
Absolutely. 100%.
Okay.
I expect no less.
number five, the Ferrari Purosangue.
I knew that was going to be on your list. I knew it was going to be on your list. It is an honorable mention, though.
I mean, it's number five. It's the very bottom of the list, but it is on my list. Number five. Number four.
Wait. Why is it on your list?
Because it is still a naturally aspirated V12. That was an all new car that came out. I know it's vaguely similar to the FF and the whatever the other one was, but it's an all new car that came out in 2023 from Ferrari that didn't have any hybrid drive train system in it.
Okay.
It was just a naturally aspirated V12. And I feel like that's important to make note of, that that's a rare thing anymore.
Remember you said that.
Even more
rare. The reason it was on my honorable mentions list is because Ferrari finally kind of wised up, looked at Porsche, and was like, hey, you know what we should do?
Copy that. Yes. Agreed. I mean, that does make sense, too. It's definitely a money thing.
Yeah.
All right, number four. Mustang.
On
the
my
dark
list.
Horse.
Well, that doesn't count because that car isn't for sale yet.
I mean, the Dark Horse is really the thing that helped the Mustang land on the list, because it is still just the same S550, whatever it is, whatever the chassis is. Right.
S550.
All Mustang people are just like, get it right.
Mustang people started listening to us a long time ago.
Yeah. Okay. So the Mustang, I think it's really cool. Putting an optional drift handbrake in your car in 2023. I mean, you want to talk about not letting 7-year-olds design cars, but I think that was a 15-year-old.
Yeah, that's a 15-year-old idea. I'm cool with that. 15-year-olds have good ideas. 7-year-olds, yeah. 7-year-olds are still kind of getting over Santa Claus not being real. So,
yeah. Now my kid can't listen to this podcast. Nice. We got to put a spoiler alert in there.
Oh,
what is wrong with you?
You
got to beep all of that.
Yes.
You got to beep all of that. What is wrong with you? Okay, number three. The Chevy Colorado / GMC Canyon.
Not on my list. Santa Claus is real, though.
Whatever. So Colorado Canyon made my list because in a world where everybody seemed hyper-focused in on the new Tacoma, the Colorado Canyon is better.
Ooh. Hot take?
Hot take. It's a better truck. And it's a better new truck. And it's more new. Yeah.
Did you just say, did your Toyota Phantom not get renewed this year?
Well, not in small truck world. All right.
Okay. All right. Hot take. They gonna call you.
I know. I'm going to get a call. Phone's ringing right now. All right. Number two. Integra Type S / Civic Type R.
All right. Mm-hmm. Why is it on your list? I'm trying to hold off.
It's significant to me because it's the same car. It's significant to me because it is keeping the sporty sedan hatchback compact world alive. And it's understanding that there is still a world where people want to change their own gears.
Absolutely. 100%.
And there has to be somebody willing to take that stand. And for a company the size of Honda and as normally profit and economy driven as a primary motivator, to be that company that takes that stand, good job, Honda.
Good job, Honda.
Number one.
All right.
Chevrolet Corvette Z06 / E-Ray.
I remember a few months ago, somebody having issues with the E-Ray.
I still have the same issues. I still have the exact same complaints. I have grown no new appreciation points for the E-Ray. None. Zero. However, I learned a new term. It's called power hybrid. And that is the term being used now by the automotive industry. Learned that from Consumer Reports. I wasn't even wearing New Balances at the time.
First of all,
power hybrid.
They
used it talking about the F-150, where a hybrid system is used just primarily to add power to the drivetrain. But I think that's applicable here. Can't even talk. And I know what they're doing, like why Chevy is using this. They're developing this because the next Z06 is going to be this. It's going to be a twin turbo, bigger engined, hybrid version of the E-Ray that's going to be even dumber and even faster and even more insane. And I don't know what comes above ludicrous mode, but that's what it's going to have.
All right.
And so for that reason, I say that's the most significant, because it is pointing us in a direction of what is to come.
Well, all three of the cars that I would, you have already said so, and I refrain from commenting on. I don't know if you picked up on that.
Yes.
Number three was the Corvettes that you were just talking about.
Okay.
I had reservations when the C8 came out. I understand it better now. I can see what they're doing. And the one part I do disagree with you on is the engine in the ZR1 isn't going to be bigger. It's going to be the 5.5 liter V8, flat plane V8, with that E-Race system. And it's going to have like 1,000 horsepower, 800 horsepower, and it's going to be so stupid fast. And I'm here for that. I'm okay with that. But that we'll talk more about that in a minute. You'll see why. The third car on my list was the Mustang. I finally actually saw one, actually not one, like four of them all in one day the other day.
Yep.
Again, so, and now seeing it, it looks more like a Camaro. I don't even see that as a bad thing. I don't. Chevy is killing the Camaro. Ford's
keeping it alive.
But it's the last muscle car standing. It is before I knew what cars was, I knew what a Mustang was.
I'm gonna call something on that though. Have you watched Jason Kamisa's video?
Not yet. Which one? Wait a minute.
Today's video.
No, I didn't watch it yet. And I didn't watch it yet because I didn't have time. And no. Woo. Don't tell me about it yet.
You need me to. You need me to tell you.
Give me a preview.
He makes the very accurate statement that it's not the last muscle car alive, that it's actually now basically less of a muscle car. It's more refined and more germified than the current M4. And that of a muscle car.
We made that comparison when the M4 came out, though, remember?
Yes.
Yeah. And for even in the last gen Mustang, I think it was Car Driver Motor Trend, they made a comparison. Yeah, we talked about it. They made a comparison to those cars. It's like, how are these cars so much alike?
Well, now they're even more alike. The line has been blurred further.
Yeah, but I mean, it's the natural. It's what muscle cars were, pony cars were going to be. It was going to evolve in. I mean, one of the reasons I like the M3 now M4 so much is because it was a different kind of pony car, and I just didn't want to. I was surrounded by Mustang people at that time, and I just couldn't like it more. I needed something to like more than a Mustang, and that car did it all. So it was like the German pony car, and I was cool for it. I was cool with it. Before I get to my number one, I'm going to give you an honorable mention, and then I'm going to give you some homework to do. It's the Prius, but not for a reason why you think it is.
That's the number one?
No, honorable mention. Honorable mention. It's the Prius. It's an honorable mention. So it would have been number four. I saved it here for a reason.
Are you going to give me homework to go look at or find the GR Prius that's coming next year?
No, not that. So some guys that do a much bigger podcast and much kind of similar format. Two friends talking. They got more skills than we got, and they got more access to things that we got. But they were friends, and then they started doing this stuff. They bought a Prius because they wanted to see. They drove it as one of the press cars. And it's like, this thing is a little better than what I think it can be. Let's get one and see if we can do it. The first thing they did was change the tires on it, and it was as fast on the road as the GTI that it was driving with it. It was doing things that that they didn't expect to do. Now, did it sound good? Not at all. But it was doing it. And I think The reason I put it on the list is, we talked about this before, I think Toyota had it right all along, because maybe because they kind of inadvertently followed my philosophy. You know how I feel. There should be a pretty good mix of internal combustion gas engine, diesels, hybrids, and EVs, and let the market dictate what they want.
Yeah. I mean, I do agree that that is the right philosophy.
And Toyota was like, hey, you know what? We don't got all this stuff ready. We're not ready to go jump in this EV game. We don't know if this stuff really going to work. But you know what we can do? We can build some hybrids.
we can build all the hybrids.
Yeah, we can build some hybrids. And, you know, they stuck to what they do. And I think they are proven. Remember the big investor meeting and they got rid of the CEO?
Yep.
The dude was right.
Yeah, dude was right. I mean, they still want to hear it. I mean, that happens a lot, but yeah.
Dude was right. It's like, hey, while this technology over here matures, let's do what we do.
Do what we do best.
Yeah. So, yeah. And that car kind of came out and it kind of caught everybody off guard. I think the windshield is raked too much, but it still catches my eye every time I see one. But the number one car on my list, you kind of said it. This year, for the most part, for me, has been about one car.
Acura Integra Type S.
It is everything.
I read it on your face.
It is every bit of every car I have wanted since I was 20 years old.
I want one so bad.
Since I stepped foot in Japan, that's the car that's been waiting on me. And they built it for me when I'm 40 something years old. Because like, hey, you can afford this now. Come on, get it.
And your back ain't as strong as it used to be. So we're going to give you better seats.
Yeah, exactly. And when I say this, I'm not putting down the Civic Type R. It's just that car ain't for me. Yeah. That car is for somebody 20 years younger.
So I agree completely. I really won't, because at the end of the day, I still think I like the look and the styling of the Type R a little bit better.
And I couldn't be mad at you for it because it looks
but
good.
But I don't like the wing.
Yep.
And I can't, I'm too old to drive a car with that kind of wing. And I don't like that I can't get leather seats that are heated. Or a heated steering wheel, because I'm old and I want those nice things.
Yes.
And so the Type S is the car for me. I have come to that realization that if I were going to buy a new car, that's the one I guess I have to have. And here's the thing. I have been trying to find another option. So a couple of weeks ago, I test drove another new car.
Okay.
And it was one that I had pretty much said I will never drive.
Wait a minute. What did you drive?
And I have a hot take on it.
What did you drive?
A WRX.
I felt it looked like something broke in you a little bit.
Yeah. I told the guy I was riding with. And I told the salesman. It's like, I am pleasantly surprised in this automobile. So here's my main takeaways. Gearbox was pretty good. Wasn't spectacular. It was pretty good. Steering, incredible. Good weight. It was a great handling. Now, granted, the car was on summer tires, so I did, you know, make it a point to notice that and talk about it with a salesman. So it did handle pretty good, but steering weight felt great for an all-wheel drive car. The car performed remarkably well for a car in its power range. I thought it felt faster. I think it's got good gearing, so that helps with the manual. I honestly did not mind the interior so much. Things I didn't like. can't get anything adjustable on the ride for stiffness, too stiff. But you can't adjust the stiffness unless you go to the touring. And if you go to the touring, you can't get the manual.
Can't get the manual.
So that eliminated it right there, because I don't play stupid games where you box me out of having the things I want. If I have the money to buy your car and buy every option on your car, then dadgummit, I should be able to buy them.
I think the solution is coming for you. I haven't watched the video yet.
There's a better trim coming. I know.
Yeah.
The guy even talked to me about it. But here's the thing. At the end of the day, I don't think I would have bought it, because it just wasn't. It was good. It wasn't the magic I've been looking for. And the styling has grown on me some. I don't mind the way it looks as much as I did when it first came out. And I've kind of grown nose blind to the plastic cladding. So, you know, I think the things that I had originally said I could never live with are more livable than I gave them credit, but it still wasn't the car for me. So kind of next on my mental list is I'd like to find a Jetta GLI and drive it with a manual. That's my next on my list. And I'm just not like super hardcore looking, because I've been working and I got a lot going on. It's just a busy time of year. But once we get through the winter and I get some time, then I'll start looking again and I'll drive a. It's so hard to make car dealers understand that you're not there to buy a car that day, that you're not up against the clock. You don't have to buy. You're just casually shopping for a transmission you like. And it's just, I guess, not common anymore, but that's the conversation I've been having. I did talk to the Acura dealership about the Type S, but it's basically we are the gatekeepers to Thor's underwear, and you can buy it and you can have it, and or you can not, and we don't really care. And so there is no test drive. There's no come and kick the tires and look it over and yeah. Yeah.
I know, so they had a couple of them that was sitting on the lot here, around here.
And the other thing that's really stressing me out is you can't find a white one that don't have stupid red seats. I don't know what kind of 1973 Italian gangster pimp buys brand new cars anymore, but not everybody wants a stupid red leather seat. They just don't. I don't want them in my car. I've got a red leather Lazy Boy recliner that's a dark red color. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with red as a color, and I'm not saying there's anything wrong with leather as a seat option, but I'm saying a red leather seat in a car looks stupid.
Well, that was a hot take. Red leather seats. I don't think it looks stupid. I just think it's not for everybody.
I don't think it's for 75% of the population. That's the thing, because 75% of the Acura Type S's on the internet in car dealers' inventories have flipping red seats. So I'll agree with you that it's not for everyone. I would say that it's not for the majority, but apparently the automotive manufacturer thinks it's for the majority.
It's akin to a yellow car.
Yeah, I'm okay with there being 3% of cars made being yellow. I'm okay with that.
No, it's lower than that. Got to be. It's lower than that.
I know it's lower than that. There are Jeep Wranglers out there. That's why I made it 3%. So there's a bunch of dang yellow Jeep Wranglers. So anyway, all of that to say, I'm still looking. But I did drive a WRX. So, hey, what are you excited about in 2024?
All right, so there's one thing in 2024 that isn't probably going to be on sale in 2024, but it's going to make its debut probably towards the end of 2024 if they stay on schedule, that I am anticipating. It's the car that we just talked about. That's one of them, is the ZR1. We are going to get some ZR1 news and solid rumors. And one, I want to know if I'm right. And two, it is not going to be better than a 911. I know that.
Well, I don't know.
No. I know it's, well, this is why it's not going to be better than 9/11, because it's not going to cost $200,000. Right?
I don't know.
Actually, yeah, that's a good one. We don't know how things go nowadays. But I don't see that car being better than the Turbo S. Yeah, Turbo S. It's not going to be that good.
It's definitely not.
It's not. But it's going to get real close. And that's all I ever...
Real close.
And that's all I ever wanted. It's essentially the reason why... Because 9/11s were always unattainable to me. I understand why you like them. We give each other a hard time for it for years. I get it. I appreciate the car. I love that car. It's just... I was like, I'm not gonna have 9/11 money, but I might be able to have Corvette money one day.
I don't think I'm ever gonna have 9/11 money, but I still love them. I'm excited about it, but yeah, you're right. I don't think we're gonna see that car doing anything.
But the Dark Horse will be here next year, and I haven't watched the video that you're talking about yet, but I predicted that the regular one was going to be, did they drive a Dark Horse or did they drive?
Oh, they drove a Dark Horse.
If that car is as good as an M4, man.
Two tenths of a second around a racetrack.
Man. So.
And the M4 was pulling like a 7 mile per hour lead on it on the straightaways. The Mustang wins in the corners.
What? Oh, I got to watch this video.
It's going to blow your mind, man. It's going to blow your mind.
I got to go watch this
video. I had to pause it and walk around and stretch myself and sit back down and finish watching it. I'm telling you, that's what I did on my lunch break today. I watched that video. All right. So let me talk about some cars that I'm excited about.
I got one more.
All right, let's hear it.
And the reason, because I'm going to bring you down and then you got to bring yourself back up. I really want to see the Land Cruiser in real life. I really want to see how you feel about it. I want to see, but you're a different kind of Land Cruiser guy. I want to see how these people who actually spend $90,000 on Land Cruisers, how they take it. Because I like it. I do like it more than you. And I like the fact that they're keeping around in at least name only. But I'm just interested. It's your fault. I'm interested in that because of you. It's your fault.
It's my fault.
Yeah. All right, what are you excited about?
All right, so that one's on my list. It was under the heading of nobody's going to be surprised. But yeah, the Lexus GX 550 and the Land Cruiser, I am excited to see them. I'm excited to see one in person because I'm hoping that I like it better in person.
Yeah. You know, I'm still
really confused and struggling to understand what Toyota's strategy is between the Land Cruiser and the next version of the 4Runner.
All right, cool. I got a theory.
That's my concern, but we're a ways out on the 4Runner. So we can't confirm or deny anything. So that's why for right now, I can just say I'm excited to see them in person.
I got a theory right there for you.
Okay.
A Toyota SUV, go off-road, trucky thing theory. I think they're going to leave the 4Runner essentially the way it is.
I think it's a mistake. It's going to be too similar.
The reason why I think they're going to leave it the way it is for you.
I don't think so. I don't think that's right. I disagree with it. I would rather see the 4Runner, much like this Land Cruiser, is taking the fat overinflated $90,000 200 series and deflating it back down to a more usable $70,000, because I know they say 55, but it ain't, you ain't gonna find one.
Yeah, 70. We ain't gonna see that.
Okay, so deflate it back down to 70. I would rather see them take the 4Runner and deflate it back down.
Oh,
to like a 45, and it still be off roadable, right? That I would rather see that and make it a little bit smaller than it is currently, a little more lifted, a little more aggressive, a little more off-road focused, and let the Land Cruiser be the more top trim level off-roader that it is. Because right now, there's not enough separation between what I've seen in this Land Cruiser and the TRD Pro 4Runner. That's my problem with it. But again, all of that is yet to be seen. So we'll just leave it in the ether and come back to it. Okay. Because I got a big list. I want to get through this list. Cars I'm... Okay, I am curious about, and we'll put it in an excited category because I think it's going to be a good year for some cars.
Okay.
Charger EV.
What? That. I'm excited to see what it actually ends up being.
Me too.
But I'm not excited that the old ones are gone. So.
Me too. All those things, right? That's the same thing. Like, I wish they kept the V8. I think it's better, but they think they're doing something. So let's see what you're doing.
So you know that they I know you've been busy, so I know you might not. That car is capable of putting that Hurricane N96 in it, the new one.
Ah. Well, we'll see.
We'll see.
Okay. VW ID Buzz. Volkswagen's only been talking about this van and showing this van as coming to the U.S. for 15 years.
Yeah.
Boy, it better be really good. It better blow everybody away with how awesome it is. Because I'm betting it don't. Okay. Moving on.
Dobbs' wife is going to buy one.
I'm not surprised. I'm getting through all my weird stuff and then getting to the stuff that makes more sense. Okay.
Okay. I'll be quiet.
All right. Last in the stuff that's weird, but not last in the stuff that'll surprise you. Chevy Traverse. The new Traverse, not a bad looking little SUV. The new one that's not out yet, the 2024 redesign. They got like a off-road Z71 package that looks just about all right. Okay, moving on. I'm saving two for the end here because I've almost broke Stanley, but I'm going for the home run. I'm trying to finish the season off strong.
Okay.
Next up, BMW M5 wagon. Ooh, am I excited about it? Yes, it's confirmed. And they're redesigning the Audi RS6 Avant. It's also getting a refresh, but it's not an all new car. So I'm looking forward to the day where there is a comparison video racing those two wagons. That's what I'm psyched about.
Okay.
Yes.
I didn't know that one. Okay.
Okay.
All right.
All right. Up next. I really think I want to do this one. Even though I'm the most excited about this one, I'm going to do it next. Jeep Recon 4xe. Most excited for this. I think it's going to be what I was hoping the Renegade was when I bought the Renegade. I'm hoping the Recon, because, you know, they're killing the Renegade and the Liberty and the Cherokee and all that stuff's going dead. So the Recon's coming out, and I'm really hoping that it is what my brain wanted the Renegade to be. A little bit bigger, removable doors, removable back windows, roof that comes off, and it's basically a more SUV-ish Wrangler. And it's roughly the size of like an old 1990s Cherokee, Grand Cherokee, sorry. It's like the re-envisionment of the 1995 Grand Cherokee, which is what I wanted, right? So that's where I think it's going. I'm excited about it. And I drove that 4xe platform, and it ain't terrible. I mean, it ain't great, but it ain't terrible. I could get used to it.
I'm looking at pictures of this right now.
Yep.
And I now I understand why you said the things you said about the Forerunner.
Yeah. That's right. And be a competitor. It's a good point.
Toyota build that.
Also, speaking of Toyota, Toyota MR2.
Wait a minute. So that's what you, I heard that rumor. I didn't follow it up because I just figured it
wouldn't happen. It's a 2025 model, but Toyota is making the statement that it will be released end of Q3, beginning of Q4, 2024 as a 2025 model.
I didn't know that, because that's why I left that Mazda, that beautiful Mazda out there, because I can't confirm that it's actually going to be a real thing. But that would be nice to have the MR2 and that Mazda that was at the Toyota Auto Show. What is that called?
The Toyota RX-7 thing? I don't know. Yeah. Mobility show?
Yeah, mobility show. That would be, both of those cars hit the market in the same year. That would be, that would be sweet. Mm-hmm. That would be kind of sweet.
Yep. Okay. You ready for my last one? Number 8. Last one.
Okay.
This one's the one. It's going to break Stanley. I'm most excited to see, hear more about, and maybe even test drive in 2024. Hyundai Santa Fe.
Come on home, Bill. Come on.
Listen, what you said about the Land Cruiser, I'm excited about that because of you.
My wife saw a picture of that again on the TV because I was watching some. She's like, oh, I like that. Why don't we get that? I was like, really? Really?
It ain't out yet. But yeah, no, I think it looks retro cool. And they have a more like, I'm not going to say off-road, a more rugged appearance package.
The XT, whatever the thing it is.
Yeah, that's
So I was at the Hyundai dealership because my son bought a car, right, when he came back from Germany.
What car did he buy?
He bought an Elantra. It wasn't my choice. I didn't do it. He ran the numbers and he figured out, hey, how close can I get to $20,000 and get the things I want? And that's how it came out.
Because he
wanted an Arteon, but he did not want to spend that kind of money. And he didn't want to.
They're killing the Arteon too, aren't they? We didn't talk about that. Are they killing the Arteon or do they already kill it?
It is kind of dead. The ID7 is supposed to be its replacement.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
Yeah. Yeah. But they didn't. I don't think they've officially killed it yet. That is that's another slept on car. That car is pretty quick. If they built that car with a manual, that would be a ideal test drive vehicle for you.
Yeah. But they ain't going to build that car with a manual.
I mean, yeah, you're correct. But I mean, it fits. It's a daggone, it's a GTI. I mean, a powertrain. It works.
Yeah.
All right. So one category, one last thing before we start to get out of here that I probably didn't tell you about, but I kind of wanted to ask you about. And this shouldn't be hard for you. Favorite videos of 22 car videos of 2023. Any of them stick out for you? Because I got
three of them. That's
just, man, stuff that's, that just, yeah, think a video that you saw that was like, that's top tier right there. That's all I wanted to see.
Did you watch? We spoke about Hoonigan earlier. Did you watch Hoonigan's video of Leah Block doing the tribute run up Pikes Peak in the Huna Pegasus Porsche 911?
When you told me about the last time I watched her,
it was like 50 minutes long.
Yeah. I'm not going to sit here and tell you I watched every minute of it intently, but I watched it as I was kind of, I think it was Thanksgiving. Yeah, around Thanksgiving time.
It might be one of the best car videos that I saw in 2023. There was a, you're going to laugh about this.
Oh, I'm not. Yes, I am.
I'm going to look for it. You go ahead and tell me yours, because I'm going to look for the one that I want you to see. But it's going to take
these links. And these links will be, the links to these videos will be in the thing, because Bill is going to send them to me, because I'm sure I haven't seen this video and I'm going to watch it.
Oh, I know you haven't seen this. We don't talk about obscure.
All right. So one of the best car videos that I saw this year, I got two of them that stand out on the top tier, is by a non-car YouTuber. It's MKBHD. I already like the kid, so I had a bias. But he did a video with the Rimac.
Navara?
Yeah. They did the video in three different ways. And I think I told you about it. They shot it like they would shoot an MKBHD video. Then they shot it as the other people's video. And then they shot it from like the people's who he brought there with him, the cruise video. Like, hey, you don't get to drive this car, but you get to experience it. It's like the same video from three different perspectives. And I thought it was really, really, really neat video. And on top of that, those people, I think they're in Kentucky. Them people got a car collection. Man, they got a car collection. Oh,
really?
Oh, they went to, because it made me look at some more of their content. They went to the aquarium, the fish store, to go look at fish in an aquarium, and a Rimac Navara, a McLaren, and what was the other one? Oh God, I can't remember. But $3 million cars going to look at fish.
That's just hilarious.
Driving down the road. It's ridiculous. And it's a dad. Is a dad and his two sons, and they are charitable. They've let up. Most of the people who driven the Navara, they've driven his car. Doug, the car that Doug drove, is his car.
Oh, really? So,
yeah, he's one of them dudes. It's like, hey, I got this. Hey, y'all want to come drive it? Let's shoot a video. Come shoot a video. We can turn this thing to a charity event. You know, it was cool. And a video that I recently watched is currently at the top of my list for 100%. 150% nostalgia issues. Car and driver used to do this test that they touted as this is going to be the ultimate performance test for performance cars.
Zero to 100 to zero, but now it's 150 to zero.
Yeah.
I watched it.
Yeah. They did that 0 to 150 to 0. In one issue, they did an American version, then I think they did a British version. And it's a car that was in the British version that I cannot remember to this day what that car was. I think it was like a Brooklyn or some crazy like that. But it was I just remember loving the way Martin. That car looked. The Aston Martin was in it. But this
the
car
Voltaire
looked like
not the Voltaire. What was that old Aston Martin? It was like a brick. Because it won every year. For years it won.
This car looked like that Aston Martin, but it wasn't. It started with a B. I remember that. Well, I could be remembering it off. It was a long time ago. But anyway, they brung that test back, and then they did that video that's out there now. And it hit me in all the feels. And also the sound of that Porsche was wow.
Yes.
And then when they got into other Porsche, and it's like, hey, let's see if we can get this thing to 200 miles per hour. And they did it five times back to back.
They just let random people from the crew get in it and drive it 200 miles an hour.
Yeah. Let's see if we can. Hey, you think it'll get to 200 miles per hour? And it was a contest. Hey, I got the 201.7. Oh, I got the 201.7. That was a
video. That's what you should do.
That was one of those videos, again, that one of the reasons why I like your boy, how you say it, Charisma? That, I don't know how to say it.
Jason Kamisa?
Kamisa, there you go. Kamisa. One of the reasons I like his videos is he looks like he's having fun.
Yeah, he's having fun. Would you not be having fun?
But a lot of these videos I hear now are car videos and car content. Some of these people don't look like they're having fun. They do look like they just want to make another car video. Them dudes look like they are.
That's because they're all driving. I want to be mean here, but that's because they're having to bounce from a Model Y to a Model 3 to an EV6 to an Ioniq 5. They're not driving cars that like make you realize you're still breathing. They're just driving you cars that just.
I think it's one step further than that. Obviously, this is a job for these guys.
Well, yeah.
But if you're just doing it for money, it's like, I don't even know if they like cars.
Well, maybe they don't.
But Kavisa, that dude like cars.
He loves cars. Dude, I'm telling you right now, when you watch, I can't build this video up too much, but I'm telling you, you're going to love it.
But like in that MKBHD video, it's like, yo, this dude is a robot when it comes to tech review videos. He's innovative and all that stuff, but it is so fun. It's almost like perfect videos. He's like, hey man, get in this car and let me show you what it is, why I fell in love with these things. And then that wasn't his favorite car there. His favorite car there was a P1.
Yeah. Well, the P1's pretty awesome. I mean, defense of the P1.
Oh yeah. And he drove that car too. But yeah, it was just when these guys out here are making these videos and they're looking like they're having fun, it gives me the feels. So what's the video that you've been looking for the last 15 minutes?
Well, it's kind of hard to describe. So back on back on December 15th, so last week, a car sold on Bring a Trailer.
Okay.
And the company that makes the car, their video that they put on the listing for the car is so well done, and they got the sound just right. And it's not just the sound of the car, it's all of the sound is done. So you know how there's a scene in Gone in 60 Seconds when he backs up and he takes the mirror off?
And shut up. Stop. Stop. I just heard it. Stop.
Okay.
I heard it in my head.
So you know how there's like sounds in automotive culture that like just resonate, right?
Yeah. First so time I'm a Ferrari, you will never forget it.
Right. So I'm a rally kid too, right? So the sound of like So anyway, so this is car sold, and so I'm gonna share it. We'll put the link on the thing, but we'll have to just link it to the actually, let me see if I can open it in. Can I open this in YouTube? Hold on. Watch on YouTube. Perfect. Okay, so now I can do a video link just to the video. Got it. Okay, so I'll get the link to this video and you can watch it. In fact, I have subscribed to their company on the off chance they make more content like this. Okay, so this is a shout out to Patina. That's the name of their YouTube channel, which is pretty slick. But anyway, it's a video of a car doing car stuff, and they were just trying to sell that car, but it's perfect. So I don't want to tell too much more.
All right, cool. I do have an honorable mention on the videos. J Rig Everything did a video about wheelchairs. I know that isn't exactly cars, but I by the grace of God, I don't need a wheelchair, but I want one of them things. You know,
is it like an off-road wheelchair or is it just a fast wheelchair?
His wife is in a wheelchair and they like to be outdoors and stuff. And he's an outdoorsy guy. They live in Utah. So they build wheelchairs, off-road wheelchairs, and they give some away. They sell them, but they give some away. They sell them at reduced prices. But his whole goal was to build an off-road wheelchair that didn't cost $1 million and was unobtainable. So he does jerry-rig everything. And then he also does, they build wheelchairs. And he has a video where he has his little kid that's probably like 8 years old, and they're in the snow in that wheelchair. And that kid is explaining how his wheelchair works. And it is amazing. So just to see him on the wheelchair, it's like, oh, I can do this. And he's, I mean, it's going, this top speed is like 15 miles per hour. But it's, remember, did y'all ever build like the go-karts with the lawnmower motor thing back in the day?
Yes.
Them things didn't go that fast, but it felt like it, right?
Well, yeah, because you're an inch off the ground and stuff was falling off of it while you were racing. Yeah. The second you hit a big bump and went sideways, you realized, oh, this seatbelt doesn't actually work.
Yep. You know, that feeling, that's the feeling that kid had, man. It just... He was being a kid in the snow in an off-road wheelchair, and it was amazing. And that's where I want to end 2023. Hey, if it got wheels and it makes you happy, get out there and let it make you happy, man. That's right.
Enjoy your end of year break if you get one. If not, God bless you for working. And, you know, enjoy your start to 2024. Hopefully it's merry and bright and full of some cool car stuff.
Yep. And on that note, Bill, I love you, man. Let's keep doing this.
I love you. Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas, listeners.
Merry Christmas. Yep. Merry Christmas, everybody out there. See y'all next year.